Well, saints, we certainly need help in the days to come, and I do believe the Lord is sending it. You know, we're still getting people sending in early spring fruit revelations, you know, man-child in the spring, comes in the spring for the bride, et cetera, et cetera. And they're pretty good. I think I'll share a few of them with you today. I'm going to back up and share a piece of one because we got an update on that one, actually, from someone else. Eddie Brast, we shared his revelation on early spring fruit. And he said, I dreamed I was standing in the middle of a grassy plain in front of a huge fruit tree covered solid with white blossoms to where I couldn't even see the branches, only the trunk. As I was admiring the blossoms of the tree, all of these large, ripe apples started falling off the tree, and suddenly these bushel baskets appeared out of nowhere, and I started to fill the baskets with the apples. Well, of course, normally apples blossom in spring and bear fruit or ripe fruit in autumn. But these seem to be bearing fruit early in spring. And this is similar to what we've seen before, that the man-child will grow up extremely fast and points out the times and the types that will be very compressed. Thinking on these apples here, coming earlier than anybody expects, right? And a lot of people expect, for the wrong reasons, it to be in the fall. But this one we received from Deb Horton, and it's also about apples. And we named it that some factious reject this spring fruit. She said, I was in some building where there was a bathroom that could be used by the public, and I was waiting for a woman to come out of the only available stall, which was oddly shaped into an L. The woman finally left, so I went into the stall, and in the dream, I didn't recognize her when she came out and went on her way. She hadn't bothered to flush the toilet that she left for me to use, and it was really full. Oh well, I flushed it for her, but it didn't empty much, so I flushed it again and again and again. Finally, it cleared out enough for me to see what had been blocking it. Apples. There were probably about a half dozen whole apples still left, along with some waste. And my thought here is that they who partook of the fruit of others did not chew it or digest it, and it was rejected by them. And we know this to be the facts. We've got a parable now that explains it, but we know this to be the facts. You know, when you're around people that love each other and they go out of their way to make sure they don't offend one another, and they do everything to be forgiving and loving and turning the other cheek, and then you got another group of people that are just vicious and angry and slanderous, and because they've been turned over to the devil for their sins, that's the kind of situation we're talking about. And they saw people with fruit, but they didn't absorb it, you know. Deb said, I asked Belinda to get a verse for me by random without telling her the dream. And she received Psalm 11 and 6, which says, upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. She immediately said, without yet knowing the dream, that it sounds like the judgment on the factious is going to be heavy. Well, we know with the visitation comes that. With the man-child visitation comes that judgment. She said, I take this dream to mean that the factious led by the harlot are flushing away what fruit they had a chance to bear. And I received this dream just before one of the factious tried to contact me again, after a long time, actually. And she went on to say, spring will be here soon. Well, amen. The spring fruits are going to be here soon. God has been working on them, crucifying them, getting them ready. Praise be to God. This next one is by Keona Conway, and we call it "Some Who Were Uprooted Bear Summer Fruit." Now that's not spring fruit; that's summer fruit. Okay. Keona said, "This was the most beautiful dream I've ever had because of the vibrant colors of the green grass as far as you can see to the horizon." Green grass. Oh, maybe it's spring. Who knows? "Bright, brilliant flowers and beautiful trees full of leaves. The details in the dream were amazing. And in the dream, I had a total sense of peace. I was in a room of a white house with windows all around." And I would say that this could represent a house of righteous people without identifying exactly who they are. "In the corner was a vault, a place that people could go for safety." In other words, abiding in the secret place of the Most High, abiding in Jesus Christ, abiding in the Psalm 91 Passover. Amen. You know, we're talking about a Passover coming in spring. And a Passover is both a judgment on the wicked, and it's a protection for those that are abiding under the blood. And of course, willful disobedience makes sure that you're not under the blood and don't have any protection. Keona goes on to say, "Dad Conway, Garland, Aaron, my older sister Kelly, and I were in the dream that I could see, but I knew there were other people in the home, but I couldn't see them. I knew my husband Paul was at work. In the dream, Dad Conway told us girls to go into the vault because there was a very bad storm coming." And we know that's true. I mean, hey, if you considered the Passover, or if you considered the judgment of the Red Sea after the Passover, there's a big storm coming, folks. And it may be more spiritual than physical, but it's still, some people think because things are spiritual, that's not bad. But that's worse. Spiritual death is worse than physical death. And anyway, going on. She said, "I was thinking that Dad was going back to save and protect the others, so the girls went into the vault. And then I came out of the vault and looked out the windows and saw two huge tornadoes side by side. Each one was as big as what I felt were three tornadoes put together." So two very large tornadoes. "They were coming toward the house. So I went back into the vault, and I looked at the other girls and said very boldly, 'I do not know if you guys still believe in this, but I do.'" And she has in parenthesis, "commanding and having authority over what you believe and praying harm away." Well, amen. We have a Passover lamb, right? He bore the curse for us. Praise be to God. And so I looked back at the tornadoes and started to command them to go to the left only, not right, because I knew where Paul was working was in the direction of my right. So what we're seeing here is that the tornadoes only had authority from God's people to affect the goats or the apostates that are on the left. Judgment will fall in that regard. And that's what a Passover is all about. The tornadoes started to move left and were no longer coming at me. Praise God. Because of our faith, we can have a Passover, right? Jesus became a curse for us. Galatians 3 and 13, right? Praise God. One stopped and the other one went a little further. So now they were further apart from each other, but still in sight. And you know, what it looks like is judgment coming to divide the faction, the apostates, those that are in for judgment because of rebellion or persecuting God's people or whatever, you know. I looked closely at them and saw that each tornado was holding a huge uprooted tree in the midst of the tornado. So this division, this uprooting of trees, trees obviously represent groups of people in the scriptures, like Babylon was a tree, right? They were being separated here. Division. We've had many, many verses given to us in our meetings concerning scattering, right? In Proverbs 10:25, it says, when the whirlwind passeth, a whirlwind, of course, is a name for a tornado, the wicked is no more. So a tornado is a judgment upon the wicked. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Yep, they were in the vault. They were in the secret place of the Most High. They were protected because of their faith. You know, there's a lot of Christians, saints, an overwhelming majority of people who call themselves Christians don't believe in the Passover of the curse. They believe when they die they get to go to heaven, and they believe that their sins are forgiven, but they don't go past that to understand that God not only took away the curse of sin, but of death. And so they won't partake of this because of their ignorance. Other people won't partake because they're not under the blood of Jesus. They're not walking in the light as He is in the light, right? The light of the Word, basically. And also, Proverbs 1:27 says, when your fear cometh as a storm, there it is, as a great storm, and your calamity cometh on as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Also, Isaiah 29:6 is a verse we've received many times concerning the Lord's judgment upon the factious. She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts, a visitation, which we believe is probably the man-child visitation, Jesus in the man-child visitation. And now we're seeing it's in the spring. Of course, most of our revelations don't have a year with that, but we feel it might be this year. It's possible it's this year. We're not going to try to put it off. That would be more dangerous than taking a guess it's going to come early. Of course, we do have, during that particular time, a blood moon, which is a pretty awesome sign in the heavens. We'll see what it means, or if it means anything. Probably does. She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake. Yes, we're still expecting those earthquakes. And great noise with whirlwind and tempest, and the flame of a devouring fire. You know, the Lord said, if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. This is a devouring fire. Devour the adversaries. And we've received this text, like I said many times, about the judgment of the factious. We've all prayed from the very beginning for these folks, that the Lord would grant them repentance and turn them quickly so that they can be in the bride. But as we've seen, that's not going to be possible for some. Some are going to be reprobated. Some will be summer fruits. Some will be possibly in the bride. Also, Isaiah 40:24. Yea, they have not been planted. Yea, they have not been sown. Yea, their stock hath not taken root in the earth. Of course, you know, we break up our fallow ground in repentance so that the roots can get very deep into the earth, get plenty of sustenance, and be really strong, right? A strong plant. Amen. Moreover, he bloweth upon them, and they wither, and the whirlwind taketh them away as stubble. Believe me, coming from the Gulf Coast, I've lived there most of my life, between Louisiana and Florida, and watching the big whirlwinds come in is an amazing thing, you know, to watch great big trees get pulled up by the roots or snapped off and thrown away. Amazing power of God there. I've actually gotten out and walked in hurricanes before and watched things going on, you know, and stood out in my front yard and leaned against the wind, commanded the wind to not touch anything in my yard or my house. And actually, the last time I remember down there, I didn't lose not one shingle off my roof, and all the houses around me, they lost all their shingles, you know. God blessed us. And also 41 and 16 says, thou shalt winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away. Now, you know, the chaff can have two meanings. Chaff is kind of like the old flesh that's around the seed, which is the valuable part, right? The flesh is that chaff, but also the wicked encompass about the righteous. And when the whirlwind passeth, the righteous is an everlasting foundation, but the wicked is no more, right? And the whirlwind shall scatter them. Scatter is a word we've gotten a lot. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. And Zechariah 7 and 14 says, but I will scatter them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they have not known. And we've received this text about the factious too. Thus the land was desolate after them, so that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Uprooted means cut off from any means of the water of life, sustenance, or bearing fruit, which they are, right? In Judges 12, it says, these are they who are hidden rocks in your love feasts, when they feast with you. Shepherds, which is not in the numeric here, it's a word evidently that's been added in, that without fear feed themselves. So it's talking about just apostates, you know, that feed themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn leaves without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Plucked up by the roots. You know, we have a real strong desire that every one of God's people make it, you know. God is not wishing, which is the actual word there, that any should perish, right? But that all should come to repentance. And boy, I tell you, we're playing for keeps here, folks. We can't afford to do anything but pray one another through these things, you know. Whatever's got people held down or in captivity, well, we need to pray. It pleases God that we do. The trees were being held up. In other words, in these tornadoes, they were held up with jagged, shining wires that reminded me of lightning bolts. In other words, they're uprooted by the power of God. Right? The tornadoes started to move back and forth. Back and forth. Shaking like a spiritual earthquake. And then the roots of the trees started to produce rain. Many times the root is the only part that can bear fruit after it is uprooted. In other words, some roots break off in the ground. Sometimes you cut a tree down and the roots are still in the ground and they sprout. Because the sap has some place to go, you know, it It goes into another plant. Isaiah 11 and 1, you'll notice the man-child's number, 11 and 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. Praise be to God. The rest of that chapter is very good, too, about the man-child ministry that's coming. Well, some repent and receive revival of the Spirit, a resurrection of dry bones of Israel. You know, this revival is going to do an awesome work to get the church ready to go through tribulation, to face the beast and the harlot. We need this. Israel, you know, when they came out of Egypt at the Passover, you know, went right to the Red Sea, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of water, as Paul called it, baptized in the cloud and in the sea. And that was in preparation for them to go into the wilderness. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And with the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are going to preserve us in the days to come. They're going to feed us, deliver us, give us wisdom to avoid the traps and snares of Satan. Need to be filled with the Spirit. And love one for another and forgiveness, etc. I saw the rain was turning into something, and I knew in the dream that it was something good. Eventually, I knew it was safe to go outside and see what was falling from the rain. I told everyone in the house to come outside with me. And when we got outside and looked on the ground, we saw peaches. Peaches. Well, peaches represent fruit that ripens in the summer. Not a spring fruit. A summer fruit. This is somebody, of course, that wasn't ready for the spring harvest. These people will not be among the spring fruit of the man, child, and bride. And we've learned that a few will repent in time to be in the bride, and some will be in the summer fruits, as this revelation teaches, and some will be reprobated, as Esau. So pray, saints, pray. We want to see as many saved as possible. And, you know, I mean, the leadership is almost prepared, I believe, to go into the tribulation. We need leadership. And, of course, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, especially the latter rain on the man-child, is going to give us some superb guidance. She said, I told everyone to pick up as many as they could, that is, of the peaches, before they went bad. They must be picked up from the earthly or they go bad quickly, which is my thought. And you know a peach is pretty soft and it can, you know, go bad really quickly if left on the ground. And I believe this means, you know, the people need to be, you know, brought into the kingdom very quickly and learn to walk in the Lord and abide in Christ. You know, some evangelists are good at bringing people into the kingdom, but they're not so good at keeping them there, and that's what teachers do. And I would say that that's the idea of picking them up off the ground, you know. I looked down and I saw I had a full basket of peaches, and then I woke up. Well, the shaking and the former rain will bear a basket of summer fruit. You remember that from Amos? Amos 8 and 1 says, thus the Lord showed me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And in this case, it is speaking about he will not pass by them in judgment. They'll either bear fruit or there will be judgment, right? Ultimately, the unprofitable servant will be cast forth into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. In Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 15, we're told, "And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them up, I will return and have compassion on them." Isn't that interesting? It's very much like this dream. "And I will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land." Praise God. We know that we have to abide on the promised land. It's where our promises come to pass. It's where our blessings are. The land of milk and honey, right? The land of great fruit bearing. As they found out when they came up to the promised land and sent in spies that came out with this humongous fruit that they found there. And also Amos 9 and 15. "And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, says the Lord thy God." Oh, hallelujah. So, what we're saying here is that the summer fruit, praise be to God, the Lord is going to bring them back. They will return. He said, "I will return and have compassion on them. You will bring them back. They will bear fruit." Praise be to God. And here's another one. This is Anna Wanjiru from Kenya, who lives in Kenya. And this is a dream, another dream of her daughter's. She said, "My daughter, Marilyn, had a dream last night that she was 5 months pregnant." And that was on January the 29th. Okay. 5 months pregnant. So, of course, if you're 5 months pregnant, you're saying to yourself, 4 months until the harvest, right? Which makes up the 9 months, right? And that, of course, reminds us of John 4 and 35. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest." So that's the normal thinking. And I think the average normal thinking out there is that we got quite a few months past the spring, right? Before the harvest. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white already unto harvest." Well, just a thought that came to me. Everyone is saying the end of September is when the harvest is going to be. But this is saying, no, you can't wait till then. It's going to be early. 5 months, that's pretty early, right? It's going to be in spring, according to the dreams that we've been receiving. "Then as she stood up to walk, she started having labor pains." So immediately, the baby started to come at 5 months. "So she went to the hospital, and the doctor, examining her, said to her, 'Your baby is coming early.'" And I believe that this is saying that the man-child will come earlier than people expect. I thought that was pretty neat. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white already unto harvest." Glory be to God. "And when she told me about it," Anna said, "I read to her Revelation 12. I think it's about the soon coming man child. What do you think?" I think so too, Anna. "The man child Moses took the bride and went into the wilderness tribulation in spring," which I think nobody's really expecting. And this is another one by given to Bill Steenland on January the 25th. And it's Spring, Bride, and Man-Child. "I dreamed I was talking to a woman at work while driving in a car. She was telling me her story about being at David's house." And I believe this is talking about the bride body is in the David/Man-Child's house, which is true according to Scripture. "She was very excited and saying how she was talking to God on the phone. She said, I called him, and he picked up. And the verse was given here by Bill, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great things, and difficult, which thou knowest not. Well, we're calling on the Lord to give us understanding, aren't we? He went on to say, the woman's name is April. Okay, that's spring, isn't it? In April, the bride will be talking to God on a higher level in David's house. That's all I can make of that paragraph, you know. I said to her, well, you are behind the veil, aren't you? So, since the woman's name is April, in April, the bride will be led by the Davids behind the veil into the presence of God to enjoy the more perfect life of resting in His works. And Bill put a couple of verses here. He said, John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing. Oh, praise God. That's awesome. You know, this is what we need, to totally rest from our works, to let the Scriptures teach us how to let God do it, etc. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. If any man is willing to do the will of the Father, he shall know of the teaching. That's what Jesus said. And also 12:49, for I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me, He hath given me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Well, amen. So that's when the man-child is in total rest, because he's gone through death, burial, and resurrection. You know, of course, that at the Passover, that a lamb is put to death, right? Now, we knew that was Jesus, but do you think it's going to happen again? I do. I praise God for it. As she was telling me this, I saw a picture in my mind of a bush at David's house. You remember my revelation of seeing the vision of the bush here a few days back? I think that's a sign that the countdown has begun. This could represent Moses' bush as his David man-child ordination to bring the woman or bride out of Egypt, which is a type of the world, and into the wilderness tribulation. And in this case, in April. In the dream, I was waiting for it to be spring because I knew it would be green in the spring and not lifeless like I imagined it. Well, new life comes in the spring. And the woman's name is April, for spring, right? I thought that was very interesting, and I have been thinking a lot about this spring thing. This scripture jumped out at me one day while I was reading John, and I realized in the natural it doesn't apply, but maybe it is just God speaking to us about the spring timing. And John 4:35, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white already unto harvest. Interesting. Well, guess what? The position of this verse, chapter 4:35, just before this verse was spoken by Jesus to his disciples, John said of them, in 3:29, he that hath the bride, that is the disciples, is the bridegroom. So Jesus could be speaking here of an early bride harvest in April. She will be saying there are 4 more months, but the man-child bride will be coming then in spring. And headed to the wilderness tribulation. I mean, just days after the Passover, you know, they went to Sukkoth and into the wilderness, across the Red Sea and into the wilderness. Just a few days, they were out of Egypt. the main point may be that the disciples, the bride, were thinking the man-child harvest was coming in the fall on their time. But Jesus was saying it will be early, even in the spring. Pretty awesome, huh? I hope so. We sure need some help. We need the Lord Jesus to come and guide us, give us wisdom, open our understanding, give us His holiness, give us His protection, guide us through this wilderness, right? Most believe that the spring feasts have been fulfilled by Jesus, and all that is left is the fall feasts, which is when they expect the trib to come. But the truth is, the spring feast will be repeated by the man-child, and none of them know that because they don't know Jesus is coming in this way. If He doesn't come in the clouds and take them away, well, then He didn't come. You know, but they're wrong about that. Now, here's a revelation given to Jeff Johnson that he sent in on January the 29th, and it's all about Aaron's rod of throne authority budding. What happens when things bud, right? They bud in the spring, don't they? He said, a few weeks ago, I asked Father for a spiritual dream concerning the man-child. I told Father that I am constantly fed royal dainties from the king's table through UBM, and I would like something in a dream or a vision concerning the man-child that would edify and strengthen my brethren in Tennessee. Well, yeah. And it does, too. It's a blessing. You know, our Father, He loves to bless us. First thing I saw in the dream was a silver metal rod in my right hand. The size fit my hand perfectly, but it extended past the bottom and top of my hand about an inch or so. I believe this is the rod of Aaron's authority, and Jeff is a type of Aaron as the man-child here. Jeffrey means peace, like the Prince of Peace, who is coming in the man-child, right? And in this type, the relationship of Moses to Aaron was the same as the relationship of Jesus to the man-child. For instance, Exodus 4 and 16. And he, speaking of Aaron, shall be thy, speaking of Moses, spokesman unto the people. And it shall come to pass that he shall be to thee a mouth, and thou shalt be to him as God. Notice the relationship here. And thou shalt take in thy hand this rod wherewith thou shalt do the signs. Now, a lot of people would be surprised because they think Moses did all those signs, but we need to read the scriptures. This rod given to Moses was Aaron's authority to speak and do miracles in his name. The man-child will have Jesus' rod of authority to do the same thing. For instance, Exodus 7 and 10, and Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod. See that? Aaron cast down his rod. This represents the man-child through whom Jesus is doing his works, like Moses was doing them through Aaron, right? Before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. And then 7 and 19, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the waters of Egypt. So, once again, Aaron is the one using the rod. And 8 and 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the rivers, over the streams, and over the pools, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. Good thing they ain't got a lot of Cajuns there. They'd eat them frogs. Exodus 8 and 16. And The Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the earth. So the curses, the judgments upon Egypt, which we may see some, by the way, before the Passover, it's possible, or it could all just start there at the Passover, but I don't think so. I think we're going to see judgments, but they were done by Aaron in the name of Moses, or by the man-child in the name of Jesus. So, he said, I started to look closely at the rod to determine what type of metal it was. The top of the rod was round like the at the end like a dome. Then all of a sudden, light bars started forming at the top of the dome. If you looked at the top of the dome, these bright lights took the form of pie slices. In other words, the knife slice, not the pie piece, but the knife slice, right, is what he's talking about. Each slice in the pie was 1 inch long, starting from the center and going to the outside. They were about 1/16 inch wide, about the width of a knife that sliced the pie, right? The light bar started from the top center and went down the sides about 1 inch. There were 6 or 7 of these rainbow light slices in the pie. And I would say that this is 7 because of the light spectrum being 7, right? And this rod reminds me of the Star Wars lightsaber. You know, the handle with the light coming out of it, you know. I'm not sure it was that long, but it just reminded me of that. This pie also reminds me of Newton's color circle from Optics of 1704. That was his book, showing the colors correlated with musical notes. And it's a circle with these pie slices in it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? And it reminded me of what that looks like, actually. Jeff said, I had a hard time looking at it and only looked for a second, but it was changing shape and it changed rainbow colors. It was very powerful. And I believe that this represents the light of God's Word, which is very powerful. Rainbows show the entire spectrum of visible light. And this represents the entire spectrum of God's Word. The man-child will have this fullness of God's Word available from Jesus, who is with him and in him, right? Kind of like Moses was with Aaron, right? When the light bars finished going around the top of the rod, a holographic flower popped out of the top. I raised my hand and said, Aaron's rod has budded. Pretty interesting. Praise God. We've been expecting that. The holographic flower, I think, represents something that is in spirit, but seen as physical, like the power of God, you know. Also, flowers come in spring, when this authority will likely be given. And also, the rod is budding, which comes in spring. So once again, we see spring authority given to the man-child, a catching up to the throne given to the man-child. And we know that the dragon, of course, this is going to save the man-child from the dragon who is seeking constantly to devour the man-child, bring the man-child down. But of course, they will fail. I then saw many hundreds of women running to gather around me and examine the flower. Listen to this. You know, earlier, even in some of the dreams that are actually in this on this page, we made the mention that the people will have to be able to recognize the man-child. This is not something that's going to happen overnight, suddenly. But it's going to happen pretty quickly, because as soon as the rod had budded in the hand of the man-child here, Jeff representing that. These women came running. I then saw many hundreds of women running to gather around me and examine the flower. I was enamored with the astonishment on the women's faces as they ran to see the flower. In other words, as they ran to see the authority bear fruit. And flower, of course, can be spring, right? I could see the lights from the flower shining on their faces. And the women here represents the different sects of Christianity and are the corporate woman in Revelation 12, who are led of the man-child into the wilderness. So they got to be able to recognize him, and this budding of authority is what's going to cause them to recognize that this has to be God. No man can do this on his own. This has to be God. And what they see is the power and truth of God in the ministry of the man-child, which is why they followed Moses into the wilderness, right? Just think about it. When Moses came, I mean, nobody knew him. Why did they follow him into the wilderness? Well, his rod budded. The authority proved who he was, right? Praise God. And, of course, when Moses came into Egypt, he began to speak to the elders who had been ruling over the people. And now, suddenly, there is a change of authority here. Praise God. And, of course, the people were in bondage in Egypt and troubled very much. Jeff went on to say, you could not determine the flower's form since it changed all the time. Many, many things are going to come from this. And had rainbow colors, the different attributes of the light, right? Then as soon as it came, it went. Then a woman to my left grabbed me and said, let me go. And she said, I will never let you go. I felt she had divorced me earlier in my life, but I never saw her face. And that was the end of it. Well, this woman returning to the man-child after a divorce is a clear revelation. When Aaron's rod budded in Numbers 17, it was after the people followed Korah in rebellion against Moses and Aaron as a type of the man-child in Numbers 16. The rebellion nowadays is against the man-child and Jesus. And it's clear you can see that from the Word. But when Moses prophesied and the earth swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram's households alive, as a type of them being swallowed up by their fleshly desires, like the faction is now, then the 250 leaders who offered incense, as though they had authority, and they, as though they were going to step into Aaron's job, you know, the 250 leaders who offered incense were burned up with fire from heaven. Then the people returned to Moses and Aaron. There was a divorce and a return right before Aaron's rod budded. That's got to be it. And this is a type of the faction movement returning to the man-child because of the rod of authority budding as their rebel leadership was reprobated. Aaron's rod budding was to prove to the apostates who had God's authority. Saints, what's coming down the road? We need help. We need Jesus. Revelation 2 and 26, and he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. As vessels of the potter are broken to shivers, as I also received of my Father. So it's not only Jesus, but it's those overcomers that follow him, right? And 12 and 5, Revelation 12 and 5. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. There's the authority, the anointing. And the woman fled into the wilderness. She had to know somebody to follow in the wilderness. Her leaders had never been in the wilderness. Moses had been in the wilderness. He knew about the wilderness. He knew what it was. And so the man-child knows what it is. But the others don't know how to cease from their works in the wilderness. So the woman followed into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. And there they may nourish her, that they is the man-child. He said, I then asked the father to confirm this dream. And wow, my finger fell on she of verse 3 in Luke 18, 1 through 8 of the Numeric English New Testament. And of course, the woman above would not be separated from the man-child in a time when the beast is making war with the saints. This parable that he was given as a confirmation points out the determination of God to hear their cry and defend his elect. And you will note that the coming of the Son of Man to save, heal, deliver, and provide for his people in the man-child body is represented. Luke 18 and 1. And he spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, in a certain city was a certain judge who feared not God and regarded not man. And a widow, because she's probably a widow because her apostate leadership died, was in that city, and she would be coming unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. Adversary, of course, is the word for the devil, and the devil's got a lot of people down here persecuting the church. And he would not for a time. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the judge of unrighteousness saith. And shall not God avenge his elect that cry to him day and night, and he long-suffering over them? I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, how is he coming? Yeah, right. Shall he find faith on the earth? So the man-child, one of the reasons the man-child is coming is to defend the woman from the beast. And that was Jeff's revelation. A mighty good one, I'd say. Awesome. Well, you see, we're still getting these, so I'm suspecting it's going to be in spring. And it very well could be this spring. Of course, it could be some judgments that come before that, too. And I'm looking at that now to see. We have some times of judgment that could represent some of the things that the man-child does before the Passover. I don't know. I'm seeking God on this. So y'all pray for me. And if you get anything, please let us know. If you get any more dreams on this, please let us know. We would like to be a body ministry here. We take your prophetic revelations very seriously, and we obey the scriptures and let you hear them, as 1 Corinthians 14 tells us to do. Praise God. Well, Father, thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in these days, Lord. We look excitedly forward to seeing your new leadership coming to lead us through this morass of tribulation that's coming. And Lord, we just praise you. We love you. We want to, if necessary, Lord, we want to give up our life, and we know that, at least in the spirit, it is necessary to follow you. We want to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you, Lord. We ask you to work in us, to will and to do of your good pleasure. And we praise you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, keep us, guide us, give us wisdom, O Lord. We ask for your your Lord Jesus Christ to come and give us a revelation that we need. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just give praise and thanks unto you. In Jesus' name. Amen.